Falcoholic podcast listeners, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Live. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. We did have Falcons great Andre Risen here on the show this week. Unfortunately, we did have some technical issues with his audio. So a little bit choppy, a little bit interesting, the interview, but he powered through it and so did we. It ended up being a lot of fun, but just wanted to give you guys a heads up about those issues so you weren't surprised. We hope you enjoy this episode. Again, thanks for tuning in. You can check out our shows after the games on Sundays. You can also check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/falcoholiclive. Again, guys, thanks so much for your support and enjoy this week's episode. Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 161 of the Falcoholic Live. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, joined by a very, very special guest tonight. He is former All-Pro and five-time Pro Bowl Falcons wide receiver, Andre Risen. Andre, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome. How you guys doing?
That's great, great, man. Hey, that's Falcons legend.
Yes,
you gotta get it right. Falcons legend, man.
Exactly. Well, we're super excited to have you on, Andre. We're going to get hopefully some great insight from you tonight. I know you've got a new book coming out as well that we're going to talk about. Also with us tonight, as you guys can see, we have Eric Robinson at the very easy to remember, at underscore Eric underscore Robinson. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Ready to talk some Falcons football in this bye week.
Excellent, excellent. Also with us, we have Director of Guest Personnel, Evan Birchfield, at Evan Birchfield on Twitter. Evan, how are you doing?
I am great, and I'm thankful for Andre coming on tonight.
Absolutely. We appreciate that as well. And then finally, last but not least, we have Adnan Ekic at Say Which Way on the Twitters. Adnan, how are you doing?
Doing very well, you know, enjoying the Falcons bye week, enjoying the Braves success. You know, it's a good time in Atlanta right now.
It really is. It's an exciting time. The Falcons won, you know, so it's definitely a nice week for us as well. Guys, we're going to talk with Andre for a bit, then we're going to dive into that week five victory over the Jets, talk some bye week stuff, give you some updates on injuries and all that as we get them. But yeah, let's open things up. I know you guys probably have some questions for Andre, so I will open the floor to you guys if you have anything to get out. This is your chance. So,
you know, honestly, man, the first question I have for you is, man, I want to know, you know, what you see. I'm pretty sure you watch the Falcons and you keep up with everything that's going on with the franchise right now. What's your insight on the state of the team and the direction that they're going?
It's funny, you know, because a lot of dialogue over the offseason and prior to the offseason was about Julio.
Yeah.
Where he was going to be, where he was going to end up. So that ate up a lot of time, a lot of months in between.
Yeah.
Moves to be made by our organization and also a move to be made by players to get better themselves.
Right.
Better in the offseason. And a lot of people wanted to always rant and rave about, you know, the Deion Sanders and Andre Risens and
yeah,
what we did, this, that. I know one thing we did. We prepared. You don't become great football players without that preparation. And so I can see it. The old pros can see it from day one when we watched from mini camp all the way to when the season starts. If a guy's been getting that extra work in or if he's taking it for granted, like, hey, I'm on the active roster. I know I'm going to be playing, and that's what I look for, and because that's key into the Atlanta Falcons organization compared to the other organizations that are, quote-unquote, jockeyed already preseason winners.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
You don't hear your name in the Super Bowl contending names being mentioned in the offseason leading into the season.
Yeah.
You take that personal.
Yeah,
as a player, you should take it personal. As leaders of the team, you should take it personal. And so it's easy for us to see if they did it or not.
And right.
Looks like they spent time with each other, you know, and that's how you win close games. And that's how you win games that you don't supposed to win. And, you know, you right. get the playoffs in the first eight games, you know, and then you fight for it in the last eight. But you right. get the playoffs in the first eight. And I like where we headed. I don't know a lot about management. I've only been back since I left the Falcons. I've only been asked to come one time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for years, I used to wonder why I wasn't in the Ring of Honor, stuff like that, you know. And to be an all-time leading Falcon receiver for so long in a short time.
Yeah.
You know, I used to feel it was unfair, but man, life goes on, people move on, and I live a great life. Just built a beautiful home, got beautiful wife, beautiful kids, man, and life couldn't be better. Just been nominated for the Hall of Fame, class of 22.
Yeah.
Big
congratulations. Congratulations on that.
I appreciate it. And what's crazy about the Falcons, I have no ties to them.
Right. It's wild. Like, I mean, hey, you're.
Can you come help Ridley? Can you come help? Can you come? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I only got you 50, over 50 touchdowns. And
only, yeah.
Only. You know, you play.
I don't bat on the door. I don't beat on the door. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I play for Mr. Blank. So that's understanding. But what's ironic, I talked to Michael Vick yesterday.
Okay.
We're going to start doing camps across the country, quarterback and wide receiver camps across the country.
Nice.
Him and I. And we're really excited about it. We think that's going to be huge. It's going to be big. Because it's like fighting giants and pulling teeth, man, to get a job.
Yeah.
Right.
All they get coaching, you know, and you cut the TV on and I don't know who in the hell coaching the wide receiver.
speaking of wide receivers, man, you play.
I know a little bit. You know.
Speaking of wide receivers, you played in the great era of wide receivers, man. You played in the same era with guys like Jerry Rice and Tim Brown and Herman Moore and those guys that come to mind. Guys nowadays, who are your favorite receivers to watch? And what is your thoughts on the current state of the wide receivers in the NFL now?
I think it's getting better. I think the veterans of it now that used to be youngins.
Yeah.
Realize that it's just not about running routes. You know, you're gonna get. Right. It's just not about running routes.
Everybody can run.
Everybody can run. You know,
right.
You, where to be on time. You got to be disciplined, but you got to catch games.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of all these guys that's got 1,000 catches, and I hear all these reporters and guys doing podcasts giving all these kudos to these guys like they're so great, and I'm like, he wouldn't even make our team. Like, for real. Like, some of these guys that you name off, they wouldn't be our team, dude. Plus, if I can go over there and check you, that's how I get it.
Yeah.
If I can go on the other side of the ball and I can check you, you're not what they say you are. Trust me.
Right.
The ones you be naming off, I can go check.
Yeah.
And check me. You know, and so we used to evaluate it like that, you know.
Right.
And on both sides of the ball. And so I look for guys who are, like, not old school, but the ones that are paying homage to the old school remedies as far as being prepared for the game and your opponent. I like Devontae Adams.
A technician, man.
Because you're watching a pro.
Yeah.
Some guys are overrated, you know, and I ain't going to call no names.
Yeah.
Just because you throw the ball up and just because somebody's 6'6", and I don't know who in the hell invented the 50-50 ball. Right. Quarterback throws the ball, dude. It's the wide receiver's ball. It's my ball. You know, who came up with this 50-50, all these new personnel groupings? It's still trips. It's still twins.
Yeah.
Hell out of here. So I take Devontae Adams. Give me Ridley. Give me Devontae on one side. Give me Ridley on the other side. And then my horse. Give me my horse, Hopkins. Hopkins makes plays.
Yeah.
You know, he makes plays to win games.
Right.
You know, I hear all these receivers going to NFL Hall of Fame, and I can name off several real quick that I have more touchdowns than.
Yeah.
When I retired top five all the time. So I really could give a damn about who's talking about this or who's talking about that. When I retired from the game, I was top five, top seven all the time. So when you say the Rices and the Reeds and the Browns, where the hell was I at?
Right. You should be in that conversation.
He was playing for the Atlanta Falcons, putting up numbers.
Yeah, well, we know why. We know why, right? Yeah, we know why. So.
Yeah, and speaking of the touchdowns,
give me a Super Bowl, okay? Then I go to Kansas City. I go back to the Pro Bowl,
yeah.
AFC Championship game, okay? Then Gannis, they come out to Oakland. We go to the AFC Championship again, and I score damn near double figures and touchdowns again.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I scored double figures and touchdowns 5 straight years. So I don't know what I needed to do to get in that conversation, what you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? But if you ask me who I like Devontae Adams, give me Ridley. I gotta have Ridley on the other side.
Okay.
And just not only just to stretch the field, you know, he does a lot of small stuff that people never gonna give me credit for because he ain't 6'6". He ain't 6'5".
That's where the game is now, man.
This is what happens. This is how you guys know the show's live.
Hey,
we can't fake this.
This is bad moon.
This is bad moon. Yeah. So, you know, you can't fake this sort of, you know, live call thing. You know, this is how you know this is a homegrown program right here. So we appreciate Andre for trying. And I love that he just continued to talk. Like, most people would just kind of like shut down if their audio goes out. He's just like, nah, I'm just going to keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, he showed everybody in the household. I thought we was going to get a tour of the crib at first.
I'd be down for that. You know, I'm open. I'm just happy to have him on. I'm happy we got even 5 minutes with him is really awesome, honestly. Yeah, if that's all we can you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be back.
I'm sure he's going to try. Yeah, of course.
That's Andre Rison, man.
Yep.
You don't even have to be a Falcons fan to recognize. Like, that's...
You could tell the disrespect he feels. And I don't
I don't blame him.
If the Falcons have done, and they've done several bad things, it's not appreciating the like legends that they've actually had.
Yeah.
In my opinion, at least.
Yeah, and he said himself, since he left Atlanta, he came back once. And he left Atlanta in 1994. After 1994, like in 1995.
I wonder what game that was that he came back for.
Yeah, I'm curious now, actually.
Know. I'm sure it was like one of them early 2000 ones or something. But if I can, just real quick, for Falcons fans watching who like are more modern, I guess, and don't really have a good clue of Andre Rison, he is currently fourth, and this is franchise records for the Falcons, fourth in receptions, 423. Fifth all-time in receiving yards, 5,633. Fourth in receiving touchdowns, 56. And his receiving yards per game is 72.2. It's second, only behind Julio. Like, he was – I mean, when you think of the guys who are ahead of him in those other categories, it's basically Julio, Roddy White, and I think Terrence Mathis.
Even the modern current Falcons fans.
Hey, y'all got to get the book. The book is awesome. The book it's called Wide Open. It's an awesome book. Got great pictures in it, great pics. Talk about my great friends, you know, then and now. And just let the truth be known, too, about certain situations where the narrative was already printed and written by the media or whatever it was. But it's an inspirational book, if I had to put one word on it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever went through anything in life, it's a great book to read. If you ever doubted yourself, it's a great book to read. If you ever felt like you were underappreciated, it's an awesome book to read. If you believe in faith, it's a great book to read. If you got plans on being successful and beating anything that you know, comes at you, tries to take your intangibles away. I felt like at some point in time, not only my character, but just my charisma, just everything was trying to be stripped from me. I just had to get my feet back up under my ground, my feet back up under me and stand on solid ground. And that's when I decided to write the book. Kamala Douglas wrote it. She spent time with Eric Dickerson. The Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson did the foreword. Stan Lee from Marvel. The great Stan Lee.
Stan Lee?
From Marvel.
Wow.
Gave me the collector's item.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the book as Spider-Man. All that good stuff. And so,
oh, wow.
That was written by Stan Lee himself. And so...
you got the whole crew. There's like a whole ensemble cast there.
You know, it took about 2.5 years. Took about 2.5 years. Also took me some soul searching with the organizations I played for too, on what I was going to actually reveal. Talked about a lot of issues that we discuss on an everyday basis. Why aren't there more minority coaches? Why aren't there more people in minorities in management?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they are, it seems like they're hand selected as far as their people, as opposed to ex-players. And I think, you know, it's funny, we didn't have the internet back then. we didn't have a lot of media resources. And we actually, players like Deion Sanders and myself, we were the internet. And right. I don't think we get the credit for it.
Yeah.
It's easy for somebody to jump on a podcast or do an interview and bash somebody. It's like, I sat down with my son one night and you know, we were watching NFL Network and I'm looking at Jimmy Smith and Kenny McCarty will bash me.
Daddy.
On NFL Network. 40, 30 years, 25 years later. But that goes to show you what type of people that were inside locker rooms.
Mm. Hey. Dog.
Fake. Non-religious. Propaganda guys. Bigots. You name it. Just recently we had, and as much as it hurt for me to say it, we just had John Gruden, yeah. You know, on something. But yet, if I say something, if Andre Rison says something back in the 90s about something, that the locker room ain't right. This locker room is divided, but won't nobody say nothing about it. Blacks are over here, whites are over there. Blacks go eat after the game here, whites go eat after there. Boom. Ain't no black people in the stands watching no NFL games. Can't afford it. But there's a lot of white people that can't afford it as well. Mexicans, Italians as well. But I just know after high school, black people ain't in the stands no more. But I know what's on the field in between the lines, you know. And I think it's very unfair to former players that try to get into coaching and they send us through all kind of loopholes. And you have to coach in elementary, junior high, high school before they claim that you know the game. Or you even get a shot. And then it's the Rooney rule was a joke. So those are some of the things that you'll actually read about in the book, you know, more so than some gimmick shit. I talk about times I had 3 touchdowns in the first quarter and then I wouldn't see the ball no more. I talk about why the Falcons didn't put an offer on the table when I was a free agent, nor Deion, nor Scott Case, nor Brian Jordan. You know, those are things that you go to sleep with and have to swallow. You know, all-time leading receiver there in history in 5 years, dude. You don't make an offer, you know, and what I did for the city of Atlanta, and I still do, and will continue to do. But those are just some of the things we talk about. Then we talk about the streets. We talk about professional athletes having to survive in these streets and not knowing how. Because once they go pro, you're asked to be a certain way, live a certain way, carry yourself a certain way, which you should. But you should also know, too, that one day your ass ain't going to be playing no more and you're going to have to know how to survive out here from 9 to 5. And ain't nobody from the organization going to be calling you, talking about come do the fundraiser for me with Jesse Tuggle. You know, ain't nobody going to be calling you. Ain't no former player going to be calling you either that also worked for the organization because he want that spot. And he don't want you to come take that limelight, nor that shine, nor that spot. And so a lot of people call it inferior. I call it just downright just scared. And to have the best people in your organization that you can get to help you be a successful organization, as opposed to I'm just going to pick who I want to pick and who somebody say pick. We've gotten so far away from it. You don't even know who coaching. You don't even know who on the sideline. You barely know who playing unless you're a fan of the game. Unless you're a fan of the game. We focus so much on betting. We focus so much on fantasy leagues that the players have become fantasy league players. As opposed to we didn't even know the fantasy shit was going on and we was putting up fantasy numbers out off the wall. But we didn't have a clue on what fantasy football was. We didn't have a clue on what betting on the game was like that. It just times were different. And you have to change with times. And the book does change. Book travels through time because I played in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. And like I said, you don't become good by not working hard. And then only the great ones, they work when ain't nobody watching. And so I never got away from that trait. And that's what the book is. When people had written me off, people at the naysayers had said this, I seen, the butt of the joke from child support to being broke, all that. I just built $1 million motherfucking house. You know what I'm saying? And I'm 54 years old, so I'm far from that. And the accolades, these are 40 and over basketball league trophies. I don't have to post about what I was and what I did to get it in the Hall of Fame. I gave up 10 years ago, dude. When I started seeing people go that I had taught the game to, I'm cool. I better find me a place where I can enjoy life. And if it happens, it happens. And so you don't see the Hall of Fame talked about in the book probably at all. I had one mission, and that was to be better than Jerry Rice. And I felt I was, and still feel like I'm better than Jerry Rice. So,
yeah, love that confidence for sure.
And that's crazy. I can't hear you guys.
I know.
And, you know, I talk about CTE in the book, talk about dementia, talk about all the ailments come from the game itself. Everybody went fighting for this concussion money. When the concussion lawsuit came out, you know, that was like a get drafted again day. You know what I'm saying? So everybody heard about that. Even that was race norm. A lot of them players that's men of color, they still haven't received their paycheck, still haven't received the money. So those things are talked about, collective bargaining agreements talked about up in there about the relationship between us and the new players, because the new players got the voice. And you still want to be connected to those guys. And so I made sure I kept the book juicy enough for a young fella in the locker room of the NFL today to pick it up also on downtime and read it as well. It's an awesome book, man. Awesome book.
He can't see the question.
I can't even hear y'all. Nope, I had my Dre. Somebody got my Dre's. I got my Dre's. I had two pair. Of Dre's, man.
Wow.
They gone. I have my Atlanta Falcon. I got some Atlanta Falcons with my little Falcon man on there. Somebody stole them. So then I had a little hideaway pair. Somebody stole them. That happened when you're a high school coach. You know what I'm saying? If I was coaching the pros, I wouldn't have to worry about it, right? They getting the check. Kevin asked if you have any favorite moments, time with the Falcons. Yeah, man. Yeah, I had an awesome time with the Falcons. I love playing for the Falcons. I never wanted to leave, really. It's hard, man, when you put your life on the line. You put your heart into it. And especially for an organization like the Falcons, who hadn't won shit. And so here I come, and I'm playing with Deion Sanders, and we're trying to turn this thing around.
Right.
And in 91, within a year, we're in the playoffs. So I would keep Deion Sanders. I would keep Andre Rison. I would keep Brian Jordan. I would keep Scott Case. I would keep Joe Fish back. Shit, we might have a chance to win. And I would stop bringing in these old, triple O free agents. Rest in heaven, Matthews. Rest in heaven, Jumpy Gathers. Rest in heaven, Pierce Hope. Rest in heaven, whatever. You know what I'm saying, man? Stop bringing these old dudes in, man. We was trying to beat the Atlanta 49ers at one time, right? And so all the times were awesome, the ups and downs, man. You know, when you go into an organization, not only that, I'm from up north. I was going down south too, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. Tension was still there. Men of color down in Georgia, you only could go certain places. It was when I pulled up in the Falcon parking lot, there was only one Mercedes Benz in the parking lot. You know, and through years that stuff changed. But it was a lot of things you weren't allowed to do as a black athlete down in Georgia. That's in the book as well. You know, we stayed right up against Forsyth County, and everybody know the history of Forsyth County. I didn't know it, and I went driving my car through there. I'm from up north. My wife is a different skin tone than myself. My grandmother was a different skin tone than myself. I didn't know it. I had coaches, different skin tones, who I love, friends who I love, different skin tones. So I didn't know it. I rode through Forsyth County, and all I heard was, better get out of here. You're in the wrong place. And from then on, and that was like my first year in Atlanta, out in Suwanee. And from then on, I just viewed it different. But I also used it as a catapult from it, you know, like to change things, to change the narrative, like blacks and whites couldn't get along. And it's funny. You walk in the game and it's white people cheering for you, you know. But yet, you just heard the white people at the stoplight tell you to get out of here and go back where you were from. And I was 23 years old. So we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go. And you see that. We still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Hey, ask him the question again. I don't think he saw it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll plop it in there again.
Dream had an accident.
What?
She had an accident in her cage.
Oh, man. You see what I'm saying? We got pets, man. We got
man, we got
I guess he comes with the territory new house.
Man. Oh, yep, God. Yep.
Look at this dog, man. Look at this dog. Bring the dog. See that dog? I don't like that dog. I don't like that dog. I don't want to see that dog.
Man, the dog. Yeah, the dog is going
to
get it.
Introduce to everyone
dream,
now.
Dream, my dog is outside with a head about that big. His name is Mo. You feel me? Mo Money. And you already know what he is. A pit like his name. Bull. A pit bull.
That's awesome.
You ask him again?
Yeah,
I'm waiting on another question to come in the corner. If it don't come in the corner, we got to do this again, guys. We got.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, we will.
What would making the Hall of Fame mean to you? Right, that right there. Right there. Oh man, if, you know what? Like I said, I went through different stages. I was mad. And I was disgruntled. I felt like T.O. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I really just gave up. Like, you know, I'm the people's champ. Mm-hmm. I go down as the people's champ. Cut the tape on, watch the film, and tell me. Tell me who could beat me catching. Tell me who could beat me running routes. Tell me who could beat me doing this. Tell me who can beat me that. And just line them up. I played with like 25 different quarterbacks. So that's why you don't never see me bash quarterbacks. You never see me talk bad. Boom, boom, boom. I played with 20 just in Atlanta. So, you know, I didn't have like the luxuries of playing with Montana, Young, Cunningham, Culpepper.
Yeah.
Should I go on?
No.
The first time I did was Favre, right?
Yeah. You got a ring.
You see what happened?
You got a ring. You got a ring. You got a ring. Got a ring.
We put rings on,
the,
man.
The 90s were rough in Atlanta, folks.
You know, it didn't take long. So, Super Bowl predictions? Oh, man, you already know it. That's so easy. How can you go wrong with saying Tom Brady? Mahomes, right?
Oh,
a rematch.
And I'm the little dude over in the corner. I'm the little dude over in the corner, right, with my champagne bottle, all black bottle with the red top. It say Matt Ryan on it. You know, say Matt Ryan on it, dog. Say Matt Ryan on it.
We need it. We need it. We need it. We need it.
A lot of come with. We got to play good special teams. You know, we got to find this running game, man. We got to stay healthy in the latter parts of the season. And, you know, it's funny. You know, a kickoff return to the 35 or 40, it'll help you too. You know, they help you field position.
That's
you
what Cordero's doing.
Especially in winning games. You know, if a quarterback only got to drive 45 yards, 60 yards, and he getting paid $20 million a year, he ought to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
He ought to be able to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But there's so many components that come into it, and by me winning so many games in the league and winning it all and playing in two championship games as well outside of the year I won it all, it's a lot, man, comes in play. You know, you got to stay healthy. You got to trust each other. You got to know each other, too. You got to hang a little bit off the field. Rather, you know, one week somebody cooked tacos. Next week somebody got the spades card game going. Next week, you know, we're playing dominoes next week. And you switch it up every week so no one gets left out. Because the media tell you that he's the one and he's the two and he's the three. Well, okay, where the rest of the fellas at that's running the clear out? That's coming underneath, opening you up. Where's the other guys at? You know, and so if we can find that quiet niche behind closed doors to talk to one another like that, we'll win in the month of December and early January, and then we'll see where we are come playoff time. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's gonna make it that don't supposed to make it, and somebody's gonna not make it that's supposed to make it. And
happens
so we
want to
be on that tilt of like, you know what? Let's not let it be determined by someone else.
Yeah.
That's staying healthy and trusting each other. And then ultimately, You got to ride with your quarterback, man. Offensively and defensively, you got to keep him not too high, not too low. Let him know that you care about him. You know, don't be on the bench when the other guys are up on the field. You got to get your ass up there and watch. You think they don't watch and look over there to see who's really paying attention while they're on the field. We do. They do. You know, get your ass up off the bench and get over there and participate in some cheerleading, you know, and helping build confidence in your guys. And you'd be surprised how that you mess around and beat somebody you're supposed to beat, man.
I don't think you see the questions.
Yeah, let me pop one in here. Hold on.
I don't think you see the questions.
Going once, going twice.
Hold on.
Thoughts on Kyle Pitts. I like Kyle when Kyle was at Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was at Florida. 84? 84?
Yeah.
Yep. He was a beast. He was a beast in college, you know, and like most people knew, you know, his thing was don't get caught in between the naysayers of that he's a tweener. Yeah. He's in between a wide out, in between a tight end. No, you just work on your craft. You keep getting stronger. You keep getting faster, get smarter at the game. And that's a added plus when people say they can line you up inside, they can line you up outside, we can take advantage of mismatches. Shit, I'll put him in the backfield sometimes. And just let him run swings.
Yeah.
Just let it get it in his hands and let them guys on the edge try to tackle him.
Trying to get
That's just me. Can you picture Kyle Pitts coming out the backfield with a swing?
Yeah.
Oh my, who's gonna tackle? I don't think that corner wants to tackle him. But I was glad we drafted him, especially after grabbing Ridley. You know, because them pieces got to come in now to make up what Julio did. Julio did so much. But I knew Julio was gone when I seen him start coming out on third downs. Yeah. I knew he was gone. I said he gone. I started watching. I don't miss a Falcon game. I haven't missed a Falcon game. If I miss a Falcon game, I go back and watch it. And I'm Julio's. I was Julio's number one fan. When I started seeing him, I made one Falcon game in the last 30, 25 years. And the game I came to was a couple years ago. We played Cincinnati. And him and AJ Green and went at it. It was third down. We had the ball. And Julio checked out. I told my wife then. And we were in the red zone.
That was the game?
I said, you know what? I said, he's gone.
Wow.
He checked out.
So when we scored 40 in and lost.
She said, what do you mean? I said, I don't give a damn if I'm making $50 million a year. If I'm in the red zone, that's why I got so many touchdowns. If I'm in the red zone, man, I'm not coming out the game. I'm not coming out the game anyway on third down. I'm not coming out the game on third down. You know, but these days are changed. These times have changed. These players have changed.
Yeah.
Different personnel groupings. They don't even know. It's third down, and you're sending it in, and your star player or your stud is on the bench because you sent in a personnel grouping. And we're sitting at home, and we're like, well, why? It ain't up to you. It ain't up to you. We just fans. So at times, it's hard being a fan, but I still love the game, you know. Yeah. I love where the wide receiver state is, to answer your question. I don't agree with your money guys coming out on third down, though.
Yeah.
And I never will. I never will. My body's banged up, dude.
Yeah.
Third down. My body's banged
up. Third down for you.
This Hall of Fame banged up for third down.
Exactly.
You feel me now? You don't come out on third down, though.
If I was trying to come out on third down,
man, you know what my position coaches would have told me? But if you try to come out on – but I'm not making $20 million. You know, 25 million, you're making that much. I guess you do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But when you was making what we was making, and the competition is steep too,
yeah.
You're just not the only good guy on the team. We got multiple good guys.
Right.
Yeah. Got multiple good guys. So
yeah.
I would like to see our game progress to that, to being with multiple good guys. You know,
yeah.
And there's several teams that have that. But we're working in the right direction because I love Ridley now. I love the guys we got at the Falcons. I love those guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask it now, Eric.
All right, I don't think he's going to see it.
Well, post it again because I think he's seen it when it pops up.
All right.
Tell them Falcon fans, get out there and go vote. Could you have won a ring with Matt Ryan? Oh, hell yeah. We don't want to vote. What? With Matty Ice? Man, come on, man. Y'all playing. Y'all don't stop playing. If y'all don't stop playing, see, y'all going to make me say something about the wideouts that he played with.
Uh-oh.
He going to make me say something, dog. It wasn't all Matty Ice's fault. It wasn't all Matty Ice's fault. I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Right? Should we ask him about 28-3?
No, let's not. I mean, you guys can do that. I'm not touching that subject, but you know, I'm open. I'm open to whatever.
I'm
you guys
looking want. Down in the corner for it.
Yeah, hold yeah, on, he's ready. On. If you guys got more, Eric's about to drop.
We trying to do this in Atlanta.
You can see it.
Well, it's 100 years in Titletown.
Yeah,
we trying to do that in Atlanta.
Packers documentary.
We need it. Yeah, we need it.
Yeah,
we need it.
We can. Because if you think about it, in modern day era, they only got a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In modern day era, they only got a couple. You can, you know. You can change the table. And honestly, a lot of similar talent through the years.
Yeah.
A lot of similar talent. Brett Favre wasn't too much better than Matt Ice. And I can recall several years ago, Matty Ice was up for MVP with Aaron Rodgers now.
He won MVP over Aaron Rodgers that year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Won it in 2016.
And, quote unquote, we had the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
Julio Jones.
Yeah. He didn't see it.
That's okay. I'll post it now.
Eric wants to know if you have any thoughts on 28-3 or 28-2-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 28-3. Talking about last week?
No. No.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 51.
Yeah.
That's this year. That's this year. That's this year. Oh, they got to bring me in for that pep talk. They got to bring me in for that pep talk, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's like carrying flag around. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we got to call Ryan Cameron. Where Ryan Cameron? Let me put my phone there. Let me call Ryan. I would go absolutely crazy. I got a better question for you. What if we do? I hate saying I. I only say I when the route start.
Yeah.
What if we make the Hall of Fame? What do I go in as?
A Falcon.
Has to be a Falcon, right?
A Falcon. No question. No question.
He's like, hey, stop.
No question.
Like, oh, man, no question, Falcon. Falcon, you right. Hey, I got about 21 Falcon jerseys up in my closet, right?
Damn sure not a Brown.
Damn sure not a Brown. Oh, hell no.
Or Chief. No. No, oh my God. No. Hey, it's a Falcon. It's a Falcon.
What about these boys right here? Now, you know I'm going to keep my Falcon on me now.
No.
What about these?
No, Andre.
What about the boy right there?
No, Andre.
What about the boy right there, man?
No, Andre. You're a Falcon.
You know what I'm saying?
You're a Falcon.
I can't even pull nothing up.
No.
They sent me nothing, man. Oh, man. I can't pull no Falcon stuff up. Look, I turn my iPod mic in. Just for one day to sit there, start the blank, and watch a game. I didn't want to watch one game without the blank.
We got to make that happen. We got to pull some strings.
We got to do something, man.
Evan, you heard him.
We got to do something.
Man, I had a whole city upset. You know, I had a whole city upset, man. I couldn't even walk in Georgia no more. I couldn't walk in the city of Atlanta no more. You know, but my wife and I, we talk about it all the time. She say, baby, you know you're going in. What you going to go at? So everybody know I'm going to go in as a dirty bird.
Yeah.
I wasn't even a dirty bird either.
You got to.
I wasn't the dirty birds came after us. I'm a true Atlanta Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a true Atlanta
too legit to quit.
Yeah, that's what I am, dog. I don't know why I ain't in the Ring of Honor. I don't know why I can't, you know, ride on the float like Rodney White or something. You know what I'm saying? Like Rodney White, you know, something like put me on the float or something. You know, drive me around the field, make me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, let me wave at the fans. You know what I'm saying? Do something. You know what I'm saying? I did Rodney White. Now, I love me, man. I love me some Falcons. Now, I know everybody that played for him now. Damn, I know everybody played for him now. I talked to Billy White Shoes Johnson too, probably about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I told him the same thing. I said, man, y'all run around here. Y'all run around here, this organization. Like, y'all really carry the brand. I'm very rising to Deion Sanders. Michael Vick, dude, did so much for the Falcons brand. Before Mike was even thought about, the brand carrying that Deion did, Deion left, I still was carrying the brand. I just find it hard to believe, like, just the love that I didn't get from the Falcons. You know, but I'm cool with it. Because trust me, I went through CTE and depression and dementia. I got all that shit going on, right? Just like, I ain't no different than anybody played the game. I played a long time. I had the ball a lot. But it's one thing that hurt me is that I'm not a part of the Falcons organization. That hurt me. And then my wife went through cancer, and we got invited to the game, and we went to the game. And she had lost all her hair and stuff. And so I was mourning her anyway and still is. But when we went to the game, it was funny. I sat in the stands like I really didn't, like I hadn't did nothing there. You know what I'm saying? It was a new arena, new vibe. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel right at all. And so that was the first time I have been back. And that's the only time I've ever been back.
Wow.
And that was the only time I had been invited back. They put me in the group of let's invite the alumni back. No, don't put me in that one. But damn, if you can't call Andre Rison yourself, come on, man. You know? But that is that big conglomerate. You come in one door and you do your work. Car wash. They push you out. It's over. Yeah. It's over. And so I'd be damned if I couldn't help somebody at some point in time up in the Falcons organization, you know what I'm saying? Or the team itself. Shit, I know the game, man. I'm a coach. You know? And so for me not to be coaching the Falcon receivers is crazy. And I've been asking to do that for years, dude. For years. So I don't stop loving that bird on the side, though. I don't know the other people. I don't know them. And it ain't their fault. But I don't put myself in position to get stepped on or elbowed out of line. I just don't get in line. I'm cool. So, you know, I'm very cool. But at one point in time, I was like, this is so disrespectful. Like,
Daddy.
It's just so disrespectful. Like, because I carry the brand. And I still carry the brand. I mean, you tell me who the most famous Falcons are. Shit, I'm in the top five, man.
Definitely,
I'm in the top
definitely,
three.
Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm saying? On some real shit.
It's like, definitely
let's stop playing.
Yeah.
Let's stop playing. Like, yeah. Let's stop playing. But I ain't knocking on nobody's door to be like, hey, man, look at me. I'm Falcons. Nah. I wanted the organization to reach out. If I'm going to grow as a person and I'm going to mature as a person and I'm going to grow the wealth, that's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what I did. I grew the wealth. You should do the same. If I granted you my life, I put my life on the line for you guys. And I sweated. I cried. I cried when we lost. I don't know how many Falcon players cry when they lose. I cried when I lost. I cried every game we lost. And I wore it on my sleeve. You know, but to each his own.
Yeah.
But I still just find it very hard to believe, like, my name ain't up in the Raptors. Nowhere near it. And It took guys way longer than me to break my records as the Falcons all-time leading receiver.
Yeah.
And then they just started talking about them like they was just like the cream of the crop. Them dudes wouldn't even made the team. But that's not my job to go bash the next ones that's in line. My job is to open the doors. I signed the largest contract in history, not Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice played during the strike year and scored 22 touchdowns. You tell me if that shit counts. I scored double figures 5 straight years with him. But I never played, never would play during a strike year. I'm on the player side and will always be on the player side. So that's where the difference came between me and Rice, that nobody really knew why Andre got this thing against Rice. Well, first of all, I feel like I'm the best to play this game. And you keep writing that he's the best because his stats are already up there. Ain't nobody going to catch them. He ain't going to beat me running. He ain't going to beat me jumping. Matter of fact, you erased my Pro Bowl MVP because I didn't even want it. I really wanted to line up and check it. And then let the world watch. See? That's where we came from, though. And what's different than that than Deion Sanders coming in the huddle saying, I want to play wideout. And Deion came and what? Played wideout. And we threw him the ball. So what's the difference between me? I was an All-American corner. So my mindset really was totally different. But I'm glad I had it because it trickled over to teammates that might not have had the confidence that they needed to play on our level. And you got to help your teammates out. So I would never change nothing. I would never change my attitude. I would never change my spunk, my bite. None of it, dude. You know, I didn't ask to be traded my rookie year. You know, I made all rookie. And then the next year I got traded for the first pick. I didn't ask for that. But people went, oh, he played for 17. Man, shut up. I didn't ask to be traded. Then I got traded to Atlanta Falcons. So I go to Atlanta Falcons. I give you 56 touchdowns. 56 in the next 4 or 5. Then you bring in, matter of fact, before I even leave, the dude you traded for, you brought him in, the quarterback. Jeff George.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now you tell me who got bad management. I don't know who got bad management, whatever, but. Now I'm catching balls from who I just got traded for, right?
Yeah.
Make the Pro Bowls. We do all that. We make playoffs. We do all that good stuff. And I'm a free agent, and I don't even get an offer. So now I'm on my third team, but I'm a free agent, though. Got traded. Now I'm a free agent. But yet, in between, I made all pro damn near every year. I don't know what the hell y'all want me to do. I made the wrong choice. I chose Cleveland. Belichick was in Cleveland, too, so I guess the greatest coach of all time, he made the wrong choice, too.
Yeah.
They fired Belichick. They cut me. And we never played a down in Baltimore. So that's how I ended up in Jacksonville. So I go to Jacksonville, and then I end up playing for arguably one of the most racist coaches ever, Tom Coughlin. We didn't see eye to eye, and a lot of players didn't. But it didn't get revealed until he went to the Giants. And it took Strahan and Armstead and all of Tiki Barber. Oh, when they said it was cool. But when I told y'all, something wrong with my man. Oh, that's Andre Rison saying that. Dude, I'm way smarter than y'all. I graduated. My GPA is high. You can't tell. It's real high. And I'm willing to go learn. So that makes me even more dangerous. All right? Pick up the phone. Boop, it's Green Bay, San Fran, or Dallas. I got the vibes from Dallas. Deion wanted Deion. Come on. That's my brother. Still to this day. Me and Deion love, man, mad love for each other. Talk to each other damn near every day. Just talked to his offensive coordinator, Jason Phillips, who was there with us too. That's his offensive coordinator. We plan on coaching all together sometime, at some day, at some point. Deion, come on. Aikman know what it is. I'm going to get open quicker than Michael Irvin. So that time I checked, I got more touchdowns than him. But that's another story. So I didn't feel it from Mike. I didn't feel it from 88. Rising coming, woo! Irvin, Emmett. We probably wouldn't have never lost another game if I would have went. Yeah. So
yeah.
If I go to Frisco, that means I'm giving up.
With Jerry.
That means I done gave up.
With
hell
Jerry.
No. You know, damn well I ain't going to Frisco to play with no Jerry Rice. Hell no. All right? Got one team left, and it's Green Bay. Went to Green Bay, seen the situation, talked to him. We didn't lose a game. The rest is history, dude. I scored in every playoff game, then scored in the Super Bowl. We won the Super Bowl, and so I was a free agent. So now here come my sixth team, which was Kansas City. Green Bay effed up and didn't sign me back, and they know that. They know that to this day. But long story short, I signed with Kansas City. Now this is my 16th. What I do? What we do? We make the Pro Bowl. They hadn't had a Pro Bowl receiver since Otis Taylor. That's why I wore the 89, and that's why I created Spider-Man, and Stan Lee became, him and I became great friends, and that's when all the trilogies and movies started with the superheroes. And I was asked to be in several of them, the Spider-Mans, but when they were shooting, we were always in camp. I just was intrigued and thrilled and in awe of Stan Lee, the great Stan Lee, rest in heaven, that he took the time out to even see it. And that was awesome. So we go there, have some great years in Kansas City, almost make the Super Bowl again, and we changed coaches. So now I'm up in my 30s. So now it's like, okay, is he over the hill or he lost his step? Well, damn, I was just in Pro Bowl a year before. So I go to the Raiders and play awesome. Some of my best football I had been playing was in my 12th year with Tim Brown. And I put up almost double figures that year. If you look at it, I almost had double figures that year. And almost 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Shit, damn near 800, right? So all in all, man, I can't complain about my career. It was awesome. It was super awesome. And so in the book, you just got it how it was broken down, though, how I got to the 17s, because I'm tired of people talking about, oh, he played with 17. But shit, look at how I got there.
Yeah.
Look at how I got there. But then once I got there, look at what we did. And look at what we did. And the cool part about it, this can be taught. I've been coaching now for 14 years. And I teach all the stuff that was taught to me. You know, in the game from the great coaches I had, from Fred Biletnikoff to Al Saunders to Jimmy Mann, Jimmy Robinson. You know, those are great coaches, man, position coaches. And so I give thanks to all my great coaches in the book. Also the media. You know, you supposedly supposed to have this relationship with the media, and it can go either way. That depends on you getting in the Hall of Fame or not. Well, when you look at Art Monk and you look at his career, if you're a football fan and you know Art Monk, if you look at Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, I don't know why they wasn't in the league. I don't know what the hell they arguing about Drew Pearson to get in the Hall of Fame before Clayton or Duper who played with Marino. Only thing I can say is Super Bowl. But when you looked at the stats, it wasn't even close, you know. Lynn Swan, another one. His stats are up under the table, you know, but three Super Bowls and some magnificent catches, and things have changed. Things have changed for you when you put the rings on. So I knew I was better than Rice. I knew that I wasn't going to catch him in stats. I knew I needed rings to be in the conversation, and that's what we sought after. That's what we sought after rings.
Yep. Yeah. Let absolutely. Go, Kevin? What's that?
Want to let him go?
Yeah. We can. I'll just send him a message here. Sending.
Nah, up. Man. Number love, guys. My hands tore up. I've been outside doing landscaping, man. Boom, working. Hey, love you guys. Appreciate it. Hey, good luck next week after the bye weekend. Stay safe with this COVID stuff. Yes, blessings sir. To you and your babies and your kids.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. No Thank doubt. You so yes, much, sir. Andre. All right, guys, that was Falcons legend Andre Rison, 100% real, 100% unfiltered. I didn't expect we would get like that much of a peek into the psyche of Andre Rison, and he gave us like a total, like behind the scenes breakdown of basically his entire career. I mean that's not public knowledge right there. So,
you know what, man. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
You can hear the sincerity. You can hear the hurt. You can hear the disappointment in his voice, of just wanting to be part of Falcons lore.
He deserves it, you know.
He does. He deserves it. You know, when you speak of all-time great Falcons, you know, he's one of the first names that you throw out there. I mean, you, of course, you go with Deion. Of course, you go with Vic. You know, you may toss out Julio before him, but he will still come on that list at some point, you know. No, hopefully one day, you know, I believe Arthur Blank is that type of owner that will be willing to, you know, open that door to a lot of former Falcons in the past. And I'm not saying it was him. I'm not saying it was Blank that did not allow that. But I'm just saying, like, Arthur Blank is one of the more wholesome owners in the league. You know, he's very welcoming. He's very, you know, personal, as we all know. But yeah, that was fun, man. We didn't really get to ask a whole lot of questions.
Yeah.
But I don't think we really needed to. No. Honestly.
No, he didn't. He just kind of. He just took it and ran. We threw a couple of softballs up there for him, but and you know, Andre just really appreciated him working through the technical stuff because he could not hear us at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah, he could easily
after the beginning
said,
of the show.
He could easily said, "I'm out of here." Like, I'm not coming.
But you know, no, he stayed like, for an hour.
No, we wouldn't. Yeah. We wouldn't have blamed him. Yeah. But
yeah, no, he has expressed interest in coming back on, hopefully without the technical difficulties. And we just really appreciate him giving us an hour of his time. I mean,
that's dope, man.
It's really cool. Really appreciate him taking the time and really giving us that, I mean, really inside look into his entire career, his time with the Falcons. I mean, how he really feels about the whole situation. Right.
And everyone who's watching, you know, be on the lookout. His book is called Wide Open, right? Mm-hmm. Did he give us a date as far as when it was going to?
I think it's either out now or coming really soon. I know the first book signings are going to be in November, I think. So if you're, I don't know if that'll be in Atlanta or where that'll be, but there is a website for that as well. So,
but yeah, it's called Wide Open. So, what?
Oh no! Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I mean, Evan might have something to add about that. Evan, did you have something in there? Evan,
I can't hear you.
No, no, it's all falling apart here. We're all.
It is. It's the Saints.
Yeah,
the Saints.
It must have been.
They're picking us off one after the other.
Yeah, first it was Andre. Now it's Evan. We're just dropping like flies here.
Yeah, who knows who it could be next?
We got a little time to go into the game, or are we gonna close?
Oh
it
yeah,
off
no, we got time. We got time. Oh, Evan, okay. What's up, brother?
Evan, you good?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, go for it,
Dude. It's weird. Like Eric sounds like a chipmunk in my ear. I don't know what's going on.
That's weird.
But
chipmunk. Oh,
if you can hear me, I'm a plug Jeez, and a bounce real God. Quick.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Can't
go
hear
ahead.
Anything.
Go ahead and plug. Go ahead.
Andre Rison, wideopen.com. And you can pre-order his book, Wide Open. And also, there's a link at the top because he's up for, I believe he mentioned it, but he's up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame 2022 class.
Yes.
And you can vote from there, too. So definitely hit that up. And, yeah, he'll be back on the Falcoholic, either on here through publication or something. So
yeah,
just thankful for, you know, him coming on and spending some time and,
bringing the kids too.
Had some audio difficulties, but it's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we do have time to get into this week five game a little bit, some Jets action. Didn't really expect Andre to give us so much time. So it's like, you know, it's like, this is how I always feel after the interview. It's like, oh, now we have to go back to talking about, you know, Falcons football. Right. At least it's a win this time. So it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better. Yeah. But
I just did want to add on. Evan mentioned some of the great stuff that Andre Rison did as a Falcon. He still to this day owns the team's all-time single season record for most receiving touchdowns in a season.
Yeah,
like
15,
that
right?
record, 15, yeah, 15, right, yeah. And he's also third, with 12 as well. Alfred Jenkins is second.
Wow.
When he left the Falcons, he was second all time in single season receiving yards, behind only the great Alfred Jenkins, who did it in 1981. He was second and third in 1993. He was second and third in the single season receiving yards mark for the Falcons behind only Alfred Jenkins. Then Terrence Mathis lapped him for second place in 1994. And then, you know, of course, Julio Jones, Roddy White came by afterwards. But yeah, Andre Rison in his time, like he was legit. He was the weapon for the Falcons. He was Julio Jones back in the 90s for those who don't remember it, and I wasn't alive for it either. But yeah, he was the Julio Jones before Julio Jones on this team.
Yeah.
But except he never went out on third downs, as he mentioned, and he scored touchdowns.
The slander, man, the slander on that one. I mean, we were all thinking it, so just saying.
I mean, he's not wrong.
It's funny he mentioned that he's a fan of Calvin Ridley, because I think their playing styles were kind of sort of identical a little bit. At least from the, you know, they both were not the, you know, they were not the prototype NFL receivers that you see, the guys that are 6'4", 220 or whatever, but they were crafty route runners that found a way to get open, you know, in different ways besides just pure speed. So, yeah, man, if you're even a modern fan nowadays, man, you should know the name Andre Rison when you hear it. And he's definitely a Falcon if he gets in. I mean, there's no question. He played 1 year in Cleveland, 3 in Kansas City. He's definitely a Falcon, man. That's
oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah, certainly. I mean, without a doubt. He said so as well. Even with, you know, the team hasn't necessarily reciprocated the love, but he still is very much a Falcon at heart. We appreciate that as fans, and I know he's in the Falcoholic Ring of Honor for sure. He's in our Ring of Honor. I would have him on without question. So, yeah, guys, before we get into this Jets game a little bit, I do want to remind you to please like and subscribe if you haven't done that already. Thank you guys for tuning in for that interview. You can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/falcoholiclive if you're interested in supporting the show on a monthly basis, getting access to some exclusive content as well. And also check out our community Discord server, the link to which is right there, also in the show description as well. If anyone has any burning questions, we try to get to as many in the chat as we can, but you can also donate with a question, and if you want the link to that, it's in the show description, or you can type !tip for that information to be posted in the chat. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us so far as we now transition into some Jets Falcons talk.
I just want to say 15 touchdowns in a season, man. Yeah. That's almost like one every game.
Yeah,
like,
that's nuts.
It took Julio Jones like 5 years to get to 15 combined.
The Julio slander. The Julio slander.
I'm kidding. All right, yeah, let's move on to the Jets.
Yeah, let's move on to the Jets. No, I mean, honestly, we talked about it a little bit in the post-game show, but just the most complete game the Falcons have played thus far. Obviously, the kickoff coverage still, you know, sketchy. But the offense was humming. The defense, you know, played, I think, as well as could be expected. Missing, you know, three players in the secondary at this point. I was really impressed. You know, obviously the fumbles made it a little bit sweatier at the end than it should have been. But good game overall. I think it was an improvement from the previous week. I think the team is showing a weekly improvement, which is very, very important for the rest of the season. And TC, you're right, the Jets are not good, but the defense is. You know, you've seen how bad their offense is, and their defense going into this game was still 12th in scoring, despite the fact that they turned the ball over more than any other team on offense. They were, I believe, third in terms of third down defense, and third in red zone defense as well. This is not a bad defense. This is a defense that is, you know, probably looks worse in terms of statistics than they actually are because of how poor the offense is for the Jets. But for the Falcons to allow zero sacks, I believe the Jets were above average in terms of pass rush, to have a great third down conversion rate, to really move the ball without too much trouble aside from those fumbles against that defense. I think that is deserving of praise. I mean, honestly, like, Tom, you're not wrong about their offense. Their offense is complete disaster, but the defense is legit, and I do want to give the Falcons props for that. But Eric, I'll go to you first. I mean, what were some of your big takeaways from that game?
You know, it's funny how it really did look as if the offense were able to find a rhythm without
yeah
a Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage. Something that I didn't expect. But, you know, it was, you know, the fifth game of the year, and it seemed like in every game leading up to it, there was one layer of the offense that was actually going right. You know, in the first game of the year, you know, they had, in terms of yardage, it wasn't great, but the run game was able to find a few lanes here and there. You know, in the second game, Matt Ryan and the passing game, they were able to make some plays in the air, you know, and it led up to, you know, this London game. And it seemed like the London game, they were able to put everything together. They had 100 rushing yards that day. I know it didn't look like it, but it had, I think it was 107 to be exact. Matt Ryan was dealing. Matt Ryan was comfortable, wasn't sacked. He was hit a couple times, but again, he was able to get the ball out to his receivers. Play action was flawless against the Jets, like absolutely flawless. Matt looked very comfortable in that particular phase. So that's one thing that stood out. Like, wow, I didn't imagine the one game where they were lacking weapons and they were still trying to find a run game. And lo and behold, they hit the field and this offense looks, it looked like it was starting around the corner a little bit, man. It really was. I was impressed.
Absolutely. Adnan, your thoughts on the Falcons and this victory over the Jets?
I feel like the offense, especially for the Falcons, played its best game of the season right after its previous best game of the season, which was the week before against Washington, right after its best quarter of the season up to that point, which was the fourth quarter against the New York Giants. pretty much what I'm saying is the offense has gotten literally better and better with each passing week. And, you know, it started off it's good to start off at rock bottom.
Yeah,
it's good when rock bottom. If you have to be at rock bottom, I'd rather it be right away week one, and then you build up, and then, you know, you turn into something, you turn it into something positive, as opposed to you hit rock bottom in the middle of the season, or, you know, even worse, the very end of the season.
Yeah.
And this offense could not have been any worse in week one. It was a lot better in week two in comparison, but still had a lot of those turnovers. First three quarters against the Giants were pretty ugly. But I'm telling you, something happened. A flip got switched in the fourth quarter of that Giants game. And it's just looked better and better. And I know people are going to say, oh, it's just the Jets. But the Jets are pretty good, have been a pretty good defense this season. They were top 10 in sacks coming into this game. Yes, they were missing their Pro Bowl safety, Marcus May.
He's been out basically the whole season, though.
Yeah, he's been out the entire season, pretty much. But yeah, this Jets defense it's not terrible. Like, the offense of the Jets is what holds them back. Zach Wilson has not been good at all this season. And again, he had some very bad mistakes in this one. But I'm really excited. I feel like Arthur Smith is incorporating more and more of the playbook. We haven't seen all of it yet. We have the bye week now to incorporate some more stuff. And I feel like this is the season, the one season where having a bye week early on is beneficial. Because, you know, normally you want that later bye week.
Yeah.
But now the fact that this is the earliest possible bye week in the NFL, by the way. Week six, it used to be week four, but now with the extra game, week six is the earliest possible bye. Now we have the opportunity for the offensive line, which still hasn't gotten too many reps together, still didn't play the preseason together. They've been thrown together in the regular season. They have a whole week of working with each other in practice before coming out next game. Arthur Smith has another week of incorporating his playbook, of putting in some more twists of his, doing some more of what he wants to do, because, you know, you couldn't have done all of that right away. Dean Pease has another week of, you know, teaching these defensive players the concepts that they need to know. I know he mentioned Richie Grant hasn't really been completely fully up to date on the playbook. That's why he wasn't getting snaps. He played half the snaps last game, but that's because Eric Harris was out. Necessity dictated that Grant had to play, Richie Grant had to play, and, you know, Grant had a solid game. But, man, I feel like this offense is – it's on the rise. It's on the ascension, And I think it'll be really, really good. And we'll be really, really happy with the results come week 7 against the Dolphins and moving forward. And not a moment too soon, because right after that Dolphins game, you have the Panthers. Mm-hmm. You go to New Orleans, two huge, huge divisional clashes. And, you know, hopefully you'll have Calvin Ridley back. Hopefully you'll have Russell Gage back. Kyle Pitts had his breakout performance, which, you know, which was needed with without so many weapons. I feel like Arthur Smith has something cooking right now. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the results of the bye week are coming out of it, starting week 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been really exciting to see the team's evolution. You know, you guys both mentioned that really, really bad week 1, where the Falcons were 3 of 14 on third down. They converted 3 in the whole game. So that's 21%. And they went 0 for 2 in the red zone. Obviously that's 0%. They are now, and including that game, they are now converting 45.8% of their third downs, which is 7th best in the league, and 68.8% red zone efficiency, which is tied for 8th. By the way, that's about 7% better than any of Dirk Cutter's seasons in Atlanta in red zone efficiency. So
7% is huge, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not a menial difference.
No, and that's like including that bad game. If you take that bad game out, they're probably, I mean, they're in the top 5 in terms of red zone efficiency. And
I mean, in fairness, they only got into the red zone twice in that game.
They did, but they were both 2.
Field goals, yeah. but they didn't cross midfield after that second one. Exactly. That's how bad it was.
But still 0%.
I would say at least, you know, with Arthur Smith, like that's the one plus that he's brought from Tennessee, mm-hmm. because that was the thing in Tennessee. That's the one thing that we noted about him once he got hired, about how efficient the Titans were in the red zone. And that's one plus that he has brought over. Of course we're seeing the great play from guys like Cordero. Like, I don't even want to imagine how this offense will look without Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
I feel like the guy deserves his flowers a little bit. He deserves a little shine. He's been playing great. But I also want to give a tip of the cap to Matt Ryan, man. Since the fourth, and brought it up, since the fourth quarter of that Giants game, he's looked like 2016 Matt Ryan. I'll be honest with you. Like, he just looks, you know, when Matt gets into that zone and he starts dealing and everything. He throws receivers open. He feels comfortable. He doesn't feel jittery in the pocket. He's able to hit receivers in stride. I see that. And the fact that he's been looking really great for the past 2 games, 2+ games. And the fact that he had to deal with receivers drops, like, it makes you look at what he's done. You know, he's at, over the past 3 games, he's at 868 yards and 8 touchdowns. He easily could have been over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple more touchdowns if his receivers were able to hold on to the football. But he deserves some credit as well, man. He's been playing awesome.
Yeah, I just picked him up in fantasy today. You know, Russell Wilson went down. So, you know, I'm telling you, I trust in this offense.
Drafted him.
Arthur Smith does what Matt Ryan likes. Arthur Smith runs a very play action heavy scheme.
And he should.
Yeah.
And analytics dictates that you should run play action, like, a lot. Right. It's what we had Ben Baldwin on the show last year, and he broke it down for us.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of motion. Arthur Smith, very, very analytical approach. And Matt Ryan, when has he had the most success in his career? 2016, when he was running that play action bootleg, when he was, you know, moving a little bit outside of the pocket. When he was moving around, and, you know, Arthur Smith has brought that. That's something that they tried to force on Steve Sarkisian. I've still never understood bringing in an OC and trying to have him run another offensive coordinator's playbook with his own, like,
wrinkles. But I still thought he did fine, even with that.
Especially 2018. Like, his 2018 season is so underrated.
But at least with Dirk just took away that entire element. Dirk was like, hey, this is my scheme. This is what we're going to run. And like Adnan is pointing out, like, Arthur Smith is starting slowly to just implement, like, okay, he's starting to figure out, like, okay, where is everybody's strengths? What does Matt do great? What does Kyle, what does he do great? What does Cordero, where do I need to line him up at to get the full pedigree out of Cordero Patterson? You're starting to see that a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And like the defense deserves some props too. I mean, after this game, obviously it was against the Jets, but Falcons are now 12th in total yardage allowed on defense, 14th in passing yardage, 13th in rushing yardage. Yes. They're above average in yardage now on defense.
They're 12th in total defense.
Total yards, yeah. And now, obviously, the going against the Jets this week helped a lot. But they were in the high teens last week too, before the Jets game. So
they were
18th
or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Now they're still 28th in scoring, but but if you take
I'd
away
rather
the
12th in scoring, then
yes, exactly. If you take away the 21 points that are the pick sixes and the kick return, they're like 23rd. But I think they're closer to that 23rd number than they are to 28. Is what I'm saying.
I just want to see some turnovers. That's all I really want to see.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Jalen Hawkins got one last game.
That was a great turnover.
Great game by Jalen Hawkins. Great game overall by Jalen Hawkins.
Man, where was that turnover against Washington?
That would have been nice. That would have been nice.
I mean, it hit their hands, but
it did. We lead the league in almost interceptions. Yeah.
I just want to see him make, because we all know, we've all discussed that, the talent really isn't there with this unit, the overall talent. But I just want to get a couple turnovers, guys. That it can really, I think it can really help out a lot more than people think it would.
And I don't think that the next matchup for the defense will be super scary either. You're talking about a Dolphins team whose offense, Tua Tagovailoa has been hurt. He'll probably be back for that game.
Off IR.
Yeah, he's coming off IR this week.
Mm-hmm.
Tua last season wasn't really amazing. He wasn't really, that great. This season he started out, a little slow before the injury hit him. I think he played one game against New England, had 200 yards, passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, interception, then got hurt early on against Buffalo. Miami's a team that's also, struggling with the injuries, just like the Falcons. Will Fuller, Devontae Parker. Will Fuller is going to be out. He's on IR.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker is battling a hamstring injury. So same scenario as the Falcons this last game where, you're without your probably two top targets, and then you have a top 10 draft pick rookie who, the brunt of it will fall on him in Jalen Waddle. They also have Mike Gesicki, who's an incredibly talented receiving tight end, very, very good player. He's going to be someone the Falcons have to watch, as well as Jalen Waddle. And Miami's run game hasn't really been that intimidating this year. I'm putting a kinder spin on it than Eric. Miami's definitely a team, and also scheduling quirk. They're playing in London this week.
Yeah,
and they're coming back from London next week and playing the Falcons immediately.
Wait, they don't have a bye?
They don't have a bye week. They don't. They play us right after their London game.
One of the only ones that doesn't have a bye this year after
get
London.
2 weeks off to get healthy. Oh,
and they got to come back from London and play the Falcons.
That's going to be a tricky one. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So
tricky for Miami, not tricky for Atlanta.
Miami. Yeah, that's gonna be tricky.
Hopefully, not tricky for.
I thought it was the norm that once you play a London game, you have the bye week.
But the schedule makers are in the Falcons' favor. Another team gets screwed and it favors the Falcons.
So
the
schedule makers were like, "Oh, what do we do?"
Yep. So hopefully
we gave the Jags a bye week, but we didn't give it to the Dolphins.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, hopefully Arthur Smith is better coming off a bye than Dan Quinn, because Dan Quinn was awful coming off a bye.
Last time Dan Quinn came off a bye to play the Miami Dolphins, the Falcons lost, and that was right after the Dolphins, strength and conditioning coach
That was the cocaine game.
Got caught snorting coke.
The cocaine game, yeah.
I think it was their strength and conditioning coach.
It was also the game that – Kiko Alonso, who did he carry? He carried somebody in that game. I can't remember. Was it Gabriel?
It might have been. I don't remember.
Marvin Hall, somebody. It was one play where he caught the receiver or whatever, and he kind of walked with them after the incompletion. I'm like, oh, this is.
Sounds awesome. I think the Falcons definitely blew a lead in that game. Yes. Lost it in overtime.
Definitely.
That was one of those games in 2017 where, you know, the Falcons were started off 3-0, other than the Packers win. A couple very, very shaky wins. The 10-second runoff game against Detroit.
Yep.
The game against Chicago where they should have won, but then Brooks Reed got the fourth and goal sack.
Yep.
So you know, they weren't really on great footing. They just lost to Buffalo where they got hosed.
Another game they should have won.
They got hosed. It was the forward pass from
that's
Matt
right,
Ryan.
That's
where,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, where all the wide receivers got hurt in that game. I think Nick Williams was his number one receiver in that
Hell
one
yeah,
by
Nick
the
Williams.
End of it. Yeah. But yeah, we got hosed against Buffalo. Then against Miami, it's like, all right, everything is looking good. You know, coming off a bye week, we're up, I think, 17-0, whatever it was. Lost to them in overtime. then got destroyed by the Patriots to lose three straight against that AFC East. And yeah, that was just a rough start to the season.
That was very rough. Yeah. Falcons need to get this win though next week, and we'll talk more about it. We'll talk more about it next week, you know, because we have another game to talk about their matchup next, another show to talk about it because it is the bye week. But yeah, I mean, the Falcons do need to get the win against the Dolphins because it's a difficult stretch there. You know, two division games, you're probably hoping to split those. You know, obviously it would be great to win both of them, but you're probably realistically like, okay, we need to split these. Because if you split those, you win against Miami, you split those, you're going to be right at 500 still with a game against a Patriots team that's not that great, you know, pretty mediocre. So you could get above 500 there, and you know, you're still very much in the hunt in this NFC. Like the NFC wildcard race is totally open right now. So
all I wanted coming into this season was to be above 500 in November.
Yeah, and I think
like
I think
that's
we'll have
all
that.
I
yeah.
want.
I think we might get that. So that would be nice for a change.
They're right along where I figured they would be as far as that 500, that mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, they should be 3-2. They should be 3-2.
But, man, it would have been nice to beat Washington.
It would have been nice. They should have.
Man, it would have been nice to beat Washington and to beat 3-2.
We got into the same situation against the Jets, and Arthur Smith did something different, and it worked. And I don't think I ever saw that with Dan Quinn. Not one time. It was like,
not
you know,
with Mike Smith either.
We're just going to keep doing it, you know. So,
and then pointed that out directly after the game, that he learned his lesson.
Yep.
Soon as he saw the lead evaporate, first thing he did,
dial up a deep shot to Pitts. Yeah.
Right down the seam.
Yep.
That's exactly what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If it didn't work out, I wouldn't have had a single negative thing to say about it.
Exactly. I will never be against an offensive coordinator wanting to stay aggressive late in game with a lead. Like nursing the lead, running the ball, milking the clock.
Even Kyle Shanahan?
Look, there's one exception, you know, only that one time. Yeah.
And I tell people to this day because they still ask me, and I said, look, I'm never going to be upset at Kyle Shanahan for wanting to go deep against New England with that lead.
We were roasting them all game on those plays.
I'm in the same boat, and again, we're not going to linger on this.
No,
I would have done the same thing. Yeah, I don't blame him because that's what got him there.
That's
you go down doing what right. got you there.
Yeah.
It was consistent.
You got a chance to kick the Patriots in the teeth. That's what he wanted to do. I don't mind it. So same thing with Arthur Smith. He wanted to go deep. By all means, stay aggressive. What do you really have to lose this season by just being complacent and sitting on a ball? Like just
exactly. Just play entertaining games. That's all
it was. It was less than 4 minutes, 3-point game. If anything, it's more baffling that they weren't aggressive against Washington given the circumstances, because they were up by only two against Washington, and again they had no punter at that point. You know, you had a healthy punter, you had a healthy Colquitt in this game. You had a 3-point lead instead of a 2-point lead, and Arthur Smith went out there and said, "All right, like it burned me last week. Yep. I'm not just going to run, punt, and just give the Jets the ball back with momentum."
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out for the Falcons. They scored a touchdown on that drive, and that was all she wrote.
Yep.
The Jets did end up marching downfield. I think they kicked a field goal.
They did, because there was the sack.
They were down two scores with about 2 minutes left, 2-3 minutes left, and then they basically had
to burn all their clock to get the field goal.
Had to burn all the clock. Yeah, got a couple sacks on that drive too, and it's So it paid off.
It was perfectly played. I mean, I think the defense gave up some plays. Honestly, if like Terrell just turns his head and doesn't run into the receiver on that DPI, I mean, this game is not close. Also, if they don't fumble twice in the red zone, that would be nice. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Beggars can't be choosers, all right? Yeah. We're just looking for W's, all right? We're looking for W's.
They could have had a 40 burger.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have had one. I mean, Hayden Hurst fumbled.
Hayden Hurst fumbled on like every catch, right? He's gonna need to clean that
points.
Up. Yeah.
Hayden Hurst, this game would have been an absolute blowout. It was 17-0, and Hayden Hurst fumbles it right when the team was about to score another touchdown to go up 24-0. Yeah. Like the Jets would have been broken at that point.
This was right after the turnover that they got.
Yeah, yes. Right after the Hawkins pick, and the Jets at that point I think had gone 3-and-out twice.
Yep.
And then through the turnover, like their defense was absolutely gassed, and it was only the first half.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, they did a good job. I think there were some dumb mistakes, and this is a young team that's going to make some dumb mistakes. So it doesn't shock me. What I liked, and I think what we all liked, was that they did the right thing at the end of the game. They protected the lead by growing it instead of sitting on it, and that's what you have to do in this league, because you're going to go up against teams that aren't the Jets that can score. That are good offenses, and this defense is not equipped to stop them. And you're going to have to, I mean, I tweeted it out in the third quarter. I was like, 20 points is not going to be enough to win this game. Like, they're going to have to score again to win this game. And it's exactly right. The Jets ended up getting 20 points. So thankfully the Falcons did get that late touchdown. That was a perfect drive. Did exactly what they needed to do. The Jets simply couldn't recover from that. It was a good game. And we will continue to talk about that on next week's show. Obviously, no Falcons game this weekend, but we'll you know, continue discussing the team, and hopefully we'll get some updates on Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, their status, and hopefully some other players too. You know, we'll see in terms of guys like Josh Andrews, who would be nice depth to have at this point. You know, Matt Gono, hopefully he'll be coming back at some point. Again, guys, please do like and subscribe if you haven't done that already. Check out the Patreon page and the Discord. Links to both of those are in the show description. Before we take off, want to thank my co-host tonight. First of all, shout out to Evan Birchfield for getting Andre Rison on. Really appreciate that. I know Evan was having some technical difficulties of his own. The Saints were really hacking our show tonight. Luckily, the three of us were able to stay on the air. But thank you to Evan. Evan's at Evan Birchfield on Twitter, guys. And check out the Falcoholic Instagram as well. Also with us tonight, we have Adnan Ekic. He is at Say Which Way. Adnan, anything you'd like to plug this week?
Yeah, I'm writing a bi-week article detailing the reasons to be optimistic for the Falcons for the rest of the season. That should be going tomorrow.
Yeah, cool. Check that out, guys, for sure. Also with us tonight, we have Eric Robinson. He is at @Eric_Robinson. Eric, anything you're working on you'd like to plug?
Actually, I'm not. It's nothing. It's a bye week. I mean, I usually would have a game preview, but I don't have a
no game. Yeah, so
no game preview.
Just relaxing. Week. Yep.
Yeah, I'll try to pick up something.
some kind of content. There'll be content always on thefalcoholic.com, yeah. Even if it's not from us. So
maybe I can get started on that mock trip. Never mind.
Yeah, no, we said we would put it up. They won this week. We said we would put the draft takes off.
If they lost this week, it would have been mock draft.
Oh yeah,
season.
this would be big time mock draft season. I already did one, but it was just a three-rounder. It was just a three-rounder, not a full mock draft. So we're still, I think
I've definitely started watching tape.
Yeah. I've definitely started looking into guys, at least a little bit.
For sure.
Yep. And
who
guys,
have you looked in the most?
I mean, just like the big names, like Evan Neal, Kyle Hamilton,
the quarterbacks. What position have you looked at the most?
I mean, I looked at like Malik Willis, and I looked at Matt. I guess I've watched like three quarterbacks. Like I've watched Matt Corral and Malik Willis and Sam Howell. I do think Matt Corral's having a great year, but I still like Malik Willis. He's my guilty pleasure.
Okay. So,
but right now I'm kind of, I like Evan Neal a lot too. If they decide they don't want to go the quarterback route, and they were still picking in the top 10, but if they're outside the top 10, which is where they'd probably be now.
They're eighth now.
Yeah. They might still have a shot at Evan Neal if they're eighth. Maybe. Probably not. But
this draft is going to be definitely going to be different. It's not going to be quarterback heavy at the top like it was this past year. I would be surprised, honestly, if we get.
I think Coral will probably go like early, but
two, maybe three quarterbacks this year, maybe. Yeah. And I honestly can see a case where there may not be a quarterback taken in the top 10. honestly. I can see it. If there's no trades, I can see that possibly happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think the Falcons are going to force it. You know, I think they'd probably like to have a quarterback if one falls to them, but they're not going to force it. So,
but I want people to pay attention. Like, they are scouting quarterbacks.
Yeah,
like,
they were at the Malik Willis Syracuse game. So,
right. You've been to two Ole Miss games this season looking at Matt Corral. Like, I would just pay attention.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Definitely keep that on your radar. I mean, I think they're probably going to be picking in the mid-teens. That's my guess still. I think, you know, if Malik Willis, Matt Corral are there, you know, you consider it. But I don't think they're going to be trading up for any of these guys at this point. Yeah, Kieran, I would love Jordan Davis, too. But if we're picking in the mid-teens, I don't know if he'll be there. I would love that, though. That would be really cool. All right, guys. I'm Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin. I'll have stuff coming out this week, stuff coming out next week. Hopefully, I'll get all 22 Game Pass at some point. Maybe since it's the bye week, they'll have it to me before, you know, the next game starts so I can actually do a video. Film breakdown. So that would be cool if we could get that going. But otherwise, I'll have written stuff. And we will have another show for you guys next Wednesday with some more special guests we're working on. I just really appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. Really appreciate Andre Rison for coming on and delivering some really scorching takes and just really giving us the inside scoop on his career. A lot of fun to talk to him. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back on with fewer technical difficulties, but we appreciate him sticking through it and delivering those takes all the same. So for all of us, guys, thank you so much for watching. We will talk to you next Wednesday at 8:10 p.m. You guys know when, here on the Falcoholic Live. Enjoy your stress-free football Sunday and have a great night, folks. See you then.